On the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Hello, hello, hello. Back in studio live here on WTMJ, your home for the Brewers. I'm Dominic Catronio. I haven't talked to you since the trade deadline. And wow, there are a lot of angry people in my mentions right now on Twitter, but we're going to talk it out. I put out a prompt earlier today as well, just simply asking for these final 54 games, your pick for who will be the MVP of these final 54 games, who will be the Cy Young of these final 54 games, and who will be the biggest difference maker that was not on the opening day roster. There's been some great responses. We'll go through those here a little bit later on in the program. We'll talk a little bit about the trade deadline in the next segment. We'll also talk a little bit about what the Brewers have to do here, as it is August 1st, the first of the month. I cannot believe we are officially in August. Let's start with some headlines, though, shall we? And you may see a few articles that pop up about this today, as this is kind of the most topical thing for an off day for the Brewers as they get ready to do a six-game road trip. Three with the Nats and three with the Braves. So first and foremost, first headline, this happened today. Chris Lavonis, a second-round pick of the Brewers in this past draft a couple of weeks ago, he did not come to an agreement. Today was the deadline to sign your draft picks. And if you're not super familiar with the slot system, I don't want to spend the whole show breaking it down, but you are allotted, I believe the Brewers number was $11.5 million total for your slot numbers, and there's a recommended slot value of bonus money you're allowed to give to a draft pick every year. And you may have seen headlines about this last season where the Brewers came down to like $40 of their total pool without being incurred a penalty. You can go up to 5% over your slot penalty before facing a penalty. And they were like within $40 of reaching that number. Part of the reason why the Brewers do this is because they like to maybe take some under slot, air quotes there, players in the first couple of picks where they can use that money they saved into riskier picks down the road. Riskier as in signability, meaning somebody has a college commitment. In the case of Lavonis, who's a right-handed pitcher who's already touched a 97 out of high school, he had a commitment to Wake Forest, and he decided to honor that commitment. The Brewers were allegedly offering $2.1 million, which would have been well over slot, almost $900,000 over slot, and he turns it out, which he's allowed to do. So the Brewers cannot use that money elsewhere in the draft. But that's the big headline, is that one of their first day one picks they were not able to sign. He is on to Wake Forest. Another headline coming in is the Brewers star, Christian Yelich, talked to the media before yesterday's game, talking about his back. Adam McAlvey had a great write-up on this on MLB.com. Just clearing things up, how it got out of proportion a little bit, talking about how he was seeing a new specialist, but he wasn't. It was the same doctor here in Milwaukee, in that surgery has always been an option, but it wasn't like I was going to go under the knife right now. It was just sort of making clear, like, yes, rest and rehab is the plan right now for the crew, and we'll see what happens after that. I've said this a few times, that look, man, like, this will lead into my trade deadline talk too. It's like, he's done it before, but also it's like, okay, this is the second time he's had to do this year. That tells you something's really going down. Something's really wrong with the back, so they want to see if it works again. What's the worst thing that can happen? You can try to rehab. It's like a pitcher elbow, right? We talk about it with the PRP injection, where platelet-rich plasma is what it's called, PRP, if you're always wondering. When it seems like an arm is bound for Tommy John surgery, and then they opt, well, give me the PRP, let me sit for 6 weeks, and then go get him. This isn't PRP. I'm not saying Yelly's getting that, but this is kind of the thought. It's like, well, I'm going to get surgery probably eventually. And Yelly said he was noncommittal on that. That's not 100% certain at this point. But if I'm going to get down the line, might as well wait while we're playing, try to come back, and see what happens. What's the worst that could happen? So the Brewers are still holding out hope that he would return. One last headline here, but then we'll shift gears over to reacting to the trade deadline, is that the Brewers roster moves on the horizon here. Montas is active. Tyler J, sorry, dude. Happy for your Air Miles account, your Sky Miles or whatever. But, man, he has been on the shuttle the last couple of days, given he was brought up, made an appearance, sent back down, but then had to turn back around, come right back, and then get sent right back down. So I feel for Tyler J there. But Montas is active. And I wonder how much longer it will be until D.L. Hall is here, because his last rehab outing, the other night was maybe his best one. Five shutout innings. He only had two walks and five strikeouts, if memory serves you. I'm pulling up his line score right now. Yeah, that was against the Gwinnett Stripers, the Braves AAA affiliate. That was yesterday. Five innings, two runs, two walks, five strikeouts. 76 pitches as well. So we've talked about him being in the hybrid role, but he's being stretched out like he's going to be a starter. I wonder if the Brewers are considering a six-man rotation until some of these arms at the back end of their bullpen, like Brian Hudson and like Trevor McGill, are back and healthy for the crew. So we're monitoring the DL Hall situation. I don't know if you can wait much longer. His last two outings have been his best ones yet. Four innings against Charlotte, five innings against Gwinnett. I think this is the best he's looked since he had that comebacker hit him in the forearm. So that's your headlines. Let's start talking about the trade deadlines. This is the last time I talked to you guys was on Monday. We were previewing the deadline, we were reacting to the Frankie Montas deal, and then waiting to see what happened on Tuesday. And, well, nothing happened on Tuesday. So that's coming up next. Take our first break here. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Doug, I see you online. I'm going to get to you after the break right here on WTMJ.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Cutronio, Brewers Weekly, going until 9 o'clock tonight here on WTMJ. 855-616-1620. You can call in, you can text in. We're talking about these final 54 games ahead of the crew. Before we get into some trade deadline talk, let's go to the phone lines. Again, 855-616-1620. On the Tri-County Contracting Hotline, Doug and Baraboo, you're back on the show. You're live on Brewers Weekly.
Good evening, Dom. Real quick, you didn't have a show yesterday, and I wasn't able to catch Murph's post game. But I had my first head scratcher from yesterday's game, and specifically having no Mitchell or Terang in the lineup, and then Cheerio leading off. And I'm thinking through the game, and hey, wait a minute, there's a day off tomorrow. I wonder why we're not putting our what I think the best players at that point, because you know Monasterio was in there. But I honestly agree with the lefty righty, but I think at times, you know, facing the pitcher, I'm not sure that that's going to work all the time. But then the other thing, of course, is in the sixth inning when they brought Johnson in, we had bases loaded, and they let Monasterio bat righty against the right-handed pitcher, and we had Mitchell in Terang. We had Mitchell on the bench for sure.
Yeah, exactly, Doug. So here's
all that.
Yeah, here's what Murph had to say about the last one. That one got a lot of traction. Was the fact that Pierce Johnson is a reverse splits guy, big curveball. Lefties actually fare worse against him than righties. However, this is where I'm going to step back from Pat Murphy and say, I really love talking to Andre Monasterio. He's one of my favorite guys on the team. Look at me with a straight face and say you don't want Bryce Terang or Garrett Mitchell to hit in that situation, right? Like, that's my gripe with it. I understand the splits, but at the same time, it's like, And the other reasoning Murph gave was the leverage situation / runners and scoring position situation Monasterio's fared pretty well in. I go back to my first point. I want to see one of the guys. You know, I want to see Terang or Mitchell get a shot there. But they rolled the dice. That wasn't the sole reason the Brewers lost the game. It was 2-2 at that point. The Brewers had other opportunities earlier in the contest as well against Chris Sale, which leads me back to your first point there, Doug. The reason why the lefties weren't in the lineup is because they were facing Chris Sale, who is going to be a top 10 Cy Young Award winner this year. Generational lefty, probably a future Hall of Famer. It's tough for Terang has struggled this year against lefties. He's been okay. He hasn't been great. Better than last year for certain. And then Mitchell, you pick your poison. They've been kind of rolling the dice, alternating between Garrett and Sal getting starts against lefties. And to Sal's credit, he got a knock, an infield knock. He got a knock off Chris Sale. So I think that's part of the reason why those guys were out of the lineup. So appreciate the call there, Doug. I want to roll on here with some trade deadline talk, because let's talk about what actually the Brewers are thinking right now. Because we talked about this a lot on Monday's show. With the Frankie Montas move, didn't it seem like the rental that Brewers fans were expecting to get? And Likewise, I didn't even think Montas was going to be really necessarily highlighted by a team by the Brewers. Maybe a team more on the fringes, just looking for some innings. And the point I made on Monday was, it's not the worst thing in the world if it doesn't work out. But what if it does? And the joke, obviously, that writes itself there is from Arrested Development, where it's like, well, did it work for all those people? No, but what if it works for us? And that's the joke writes itself. So Frankie is somebody that has postseason experience, has multiple fastballs, which is something the Brewers like to work with. Chris Hook and Jim Henderson and their entire pitching development team are really good with maximizing multiple fastballs, cutters, sinkers, fastballs. But the four-seamer is still his best pitch, along with the splitter. Teams have been laying off the splitter, and he's barely been throwing slider this year. I wonder if the Brewers are going to kind of poke him and say, hey, man, nothing you throw moves vertically other than your splitter, which is why teams are laying off of it. Let's start throwing that slider a little bit more, generating a little bit more breaking ball. Just put it in the back of their head. It doesn't need to be an elite pitch. Just something to think about there, because everything else is sink, cut, fastball, and then split, which is straight down. The slider can be something that can actually have some shape to it and maybe keep guys off balance on the fastball, and furthermore, just that sense of doubt with the splitter. But again, to the deadline, I think a lot of folks were thinking Tuesday there was going to be at least one more splash. I think by signing Montas, especially on the heels of what Yusei Kikuchi got on Monday, everyone was like, oh man, what is Flaherty going to call for, right? Like, if the Astros had to send a current big leaguer, a future big leaguer, and another player, Jake Bloss, Joey Liberfito, the first two guys I was talking about, and then for a rental of Yusei Kikuchi, which, let's be honest, could be like eight starts. Whereas Flaherty, by some accounts, seems like he got less than Kikuchi, and it seems more like an overpay by the Astros. And the credit to the Tiger, or credit to the Blue Jays, they had a great deadline of selling. I just, again, industry sources told me that the prices were really high all the way to the wire, and then Detroit found themselves sitting there like, well, we're not going to keep him. And the Dodgers were sitting there waiting, and this comes back to the life isn't fair, and you can't keep getting away with this. The, you know, Jesse Pinkman and Andrew Friedman, if you will, if you combine, you know, as Walter White is Andrew Friedman, the general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, where it's like, how do they keep doing this? Well, it's because they have invested in their farm. They have unlimited capital, it seems like, being able to sign $1 billion worth of free agents in the offseason. And they also are a well-run team, yet they still don't have the shiny thing on their hand other than 2020, which, you know, some folks call it a Mickey Mouse ring, but it's a ring. It's a ring. Can't take that away from them. So I think folks were panicking, like, oh, my God, here come the Cardinals. They got Fetty. They got the guy that everybody, that the Brewers wanted, especially because of that extra year of control. They got Tommy Pham back, and oh no, he hits a grand slam, and it's, oh no, oh, here they come, the Voodoo Magic's back. Well, they're playing the Cubs right now. We're going to keep an eye on that game throughout tonight's contest. Last I saw, it was tied, pulling up the scores right now. That game is still 1-1 in the top of the sixth inning down at Wrigley. Here's the truth, okay? The Brewers, I feel, this is me talking, not from a source or anything, were apprehensive about the fact of pushing chips in for a rental or something too expensive when there is still a cloud of what's Yelly going to do? Is he going to be okay? I know the rest and rehab seems tried and true. Backs are not a guarantee. And furthermore, he's going to need time to ramp back up. He's going to need baseball activity time. Again, there's 54 games to go, so there's not a lot of time here. But maybe just enough for Yelly to get warm right into the postseason if it's on the same timeline that it was back in April when he was first coming back from that first injury. The other thing, though, is the offense at this deadline. I've been saying that for the last 2 weeks. There was not a lot of offense available publicly at this deadline. Little did we know. Look, I'm sorry to the White Sox. They gave away Eloy Jimenez on an expiring contract for a bag of chips. So I would have loved to just, like, you know, again, see if it sticks, right? They ended up giving away, the White Sox had a terrible deadline, giving away Eloy Jimenez, Tanner Banks, who was under team control to 2029, and not trading Robert, not trading Crochet, and they're essentially got three guys when they're in the midst of the worst season in maybe baseball history. They have 27 wins. They've lost 17 games in a row. And if, like, Eloy Jimenez is available, I'm like, why not? Like, he's your everyday DH, and you figure something out with your roster, and you get creative. But that one kind of snuck. I'm not saying, like, he would have been a difference maker, but it would have been nice to have a little bit more power on this team, and he hasn't had a great season. I have a full list in front of me of all the players that were traded and who they were acquired by. And the number one name that, like, man, that could have been a really good fit that maybe the Brewers kicked the tires on and didn't quite work out. Justin Turner. Justin Turner got traded to the Mariners. Here's why I think Turner would have been a great fit. Joey Ortiz has really slowed down, and he has been the everyday third baseman for the Brewers this season, which is admirable in his, you know, essentially his rookie season. I know he played a little bit with the Orioles last year, but this is essentially his rookie season. And Turner has been playing mostly first base and a little bit of third base this year. I don't think the Brewers would put him straight to third, but have him in case of emergency would have been nice. But the thought for me is like, okay, when Joey needs a day defensively or just needs a day, the Brewers don't have anybody right now at third. Monasterio, maybe, but then, like, they truly, it's Ortiz and Monasterio are the only guys that play third base right now, unless we're going to talk about Sal Frelick, which, look, it happened a couple of garbage time innings earlier this year. I don't think it's happening. So Justin Turner, I thought, would have been a nice name, but no sense crying over spilled milk because it spilled. It happened. The Brewers did not get him. Other names that I thought really, aside from the pitching, because we know how we feel about the pitching and how the Brewers have really just tried to find anything that will hang around. I thought that was a genius money move by the Braves to get Jorge Soler back. Their defense is going to suffer because of it between Ozuna and Soler, but they got maybe the best right-handed power bat that nobody thought was available. The Brewers would not have done that in the money deal in that case. And then furthermore, Brian De La Cruz going to the Pirates, I thought was a sneaky, snappy move because we just saw De La Cruz torch the Brewers this weekend with Miami. And I was like, man, that dude just hits the ball hard. And the problem, though, there is the amount of outfielders that the Brewers currently have. Where is he going to play defensively? You would have had to have given up a pretty penny for that as well. So again, like, we talked about a Rosarena last week's show. We knew the Brewers weren't going to get Jazz Chisholm Jr. Would have liked to seen Lane Thomas, but again, where is he going to play with all these outfielders? Other than that, there wasn't really any bats that were traded that would have really fit this team for the crew. So I think it all comes into that point I made about Yelly and his back and the uncertainty there is why the Brewers didn't, quote-unquote, go all in. I'm not here to say that's right or wrong what the Brewers should have gone and taken a bigger swing with all these prospects they got coming up. But at the same time, you can react to it in one of two ways. You can say, oh my gosh, they didn't add anything. Oh no, it's over. Or it's like, wait a minute. If I'm Garrett Mitchell, if I'm Jackson Churio, if I'm Tyler Black down in AAA, if I'm Sal Frelick, if I'm all these young guys, Joey Ortiz, Joey wasn't going to go anywhere. If I'm all these young guys, I'm like, okay, they think we can get it done. When we get healthy, they think we can get it done. Let's do it. I'm cool with that. It's the Brewers are still looking for some left-handed power. There wasn't any available. We know that. Furthermore, they're still in first place by 5 games, maybe even by 5.5 by the night's end if they get some help from the Cubbies. So they're not a bad team. I don't want people to melt down and act like, oh, it's over. Can't do it anymore. If you want to go look at the Packers' white jerseys, go for it. We'll leave room for you on the bandwagon come late September. It's okay. But if you're trying to say, like, let's abandon ship because they've had an 11-13 month, they didn't do anything at the deadline notable. It's like, well, there wasn't much notable on the national headline scale that Brewers could have done, other than Flaherty. I think they really could have made a run at Flaherty. Maybe they did. Didn't get it lined up. So that's the way the cookie crumbles. This is the squad that they're going to have mostly down the stretch. Let's talk about what these final 4 games could entail and what the Brewers will be looking out for as we move on down the stretch. 855-616-1620. This one made me laugh. It's like 10 years in a row talking about a Justin Turner trade. You're right, because the Brewers haven't figured out third base for like 10 years in a row. You know, so that's just kind of how it rolls. We'll back with more after this here on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Just because I was curious and I was hopping after that Justin Turner text. I'm looking back at Baseball Reference right now. Here are the opening day third baseman starters for the Brewers since J.J. Hardy left. Okay, so this goes back to 2010. Alcides Escobar. Is that Chris? Yeah, Yonesky Betancourt. That's awesome. Alex Gonzalez. Gene Segura for three straight. Jonathan Villar for 1 year. Sorry, that's short now. Hang on. Stand by. I scrolled over too far. Here we go. You got Billy Hall in there. Casey McGeehee. You got Aramis. Aramis for four straight years. That was useful. Then you go to 2016. You got Aaron Hill for 1 year. Who could forget Aaron Hill and the homers that he hit that year? Travis Shaw for three straight years. Eric Sogard in 2020. 2020 was weird. Travis Shaw again in 2021. Jace Peterson in 2022. Luis Urias in 2023. Andrew Monasterio is the opening day starter in 2024. Granted, now we know it's Joey Ortiz. So you get what I'm saying here, why the Brewers haven't been able to figure it out. And now they have nobody behind Joey while trying to figure out what's the future. Granted, Brock Wilkins is back. He's been hitting well down in AA. He might be the future of that position for the Crew. Up ahead here for the Brewers, these final 2 months or so, these series that are remaining starting tomorrow with the Nationals, 17 series remain. 11 of them are going to be against teams that are quote-unquote in it. Wild card race, postseason picture, leading their division, whatever it may be. 11 of 17. And I'm not a big, like, strength of schedule guy. I don't think that measure really works in baseball, because the reason why we play so many games is because any team can beat any team on any given night. Just look at the Yankees, who have been scuffling, went into Philly and swept them. Okay, whereas the Brewers went there, played three tight games and got swept. But you look at the ultimate schedule, well, they went 0-3 against the Phillies. Like, so that's why I don't believe in strength of schedule. But 11 of 17, that's a lot. And it starts again. You see the Braves again next week against in Atlanta. And I'll be there, by the way, for all three of those games. I'm excited to head back down to Truist. Be there Tuesday, Wednesday. We have shows live from there. Thursday is a day game, but we'll have Brewers Weekly that night right here on WTMJ. Then the Brewers come back home next weekend for a big, long 10-game homestand, their longest homestand of the year. More on that in a moment. The Brewers, offensively, sans Yelich, this is who they're going to be. And for another month, they're going to roll with this position group, I imagine. You know, when you get that extra bench guy coming in September, is it going to be Tyler Black? That's what I imagine, because he's already on the 40-man, and he's been getting reps in the outfield, which I think is very curious. I talked to Matt Arnold about that recently. He said he just wants to be an athlete. We asked him earlier in the year, it's like, you know, do you want to only focus on first, or you want to be an athlete? He's like, early in the year, he wanted to focus on first. Now he's realizing, like, you know what? Maybe it would be valuable for me to learn the outfield. It seems like third base is completely out of the picture. He has played a little bit of third, but he's bouncing around being utility. The Brewers want to find a way to get his bat into the lineup down the road. So you combine potentially Black coming into the big league roster. You combine, hopefully, and this is now, let's hope that Yelich comes back healthy maybe for the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. You're thinking, okay, it's pretty much who they're supposed to be. You're going to find a way. You'll probably have Yelich DH a lot more. Him and Contreras would alternate DHing roles, I imagine. Gary will DH a lot if they want to keep rolling with three catchers. But the Brewers' bullpen is going to get better once they finally get healthy. So I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm imagining having five leverage guys available, maybe even six once Bukauskas comes back, available in that bullpen in September when the games really matter. And the Brewers could have, obviously, Devin Williams in the ninth. Some combination of Trevor McGill or Brian Hudson in the eighth. So that's three names right there. Then you've got Nick Mears now in the fold. That's four. You've got Jared Koenig, who's a Swiss Army knife. He can open games. He can pitch in leverage. He can do all that. Yesterday was not his best start. I know we put a lot of the blame on Piguero, but, like, hey, don't walk Jorge Soler. And I would have left Koenig out there, kind of his mess, let him finish it. He has gotten out of these messes before. But we're not talking about yesterday. That's in the past. That's all I'd say. But Koenig is still certainly a leverage reliever. And when Bukauskas comes back, he can handle it. Or even Paredes, when he comes back, he can handle that too. So the Brewers certainly have arms on the way. Just, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to weather this storm that you're in right now. I asked earlier, you know, right at the start of this second half, when they had the two against the Twins, then they had the Cubs, and now they're in the stretch. This 17-game stretch between the All-Star break and the 10-game homestand, can the Brewers find a way to be 10-7? That's all they needed to do. Right now, they are 6-5. So, would like to see a couple of series wins, potentially against a depleted national squad this weekend, and then find a way to take one from Atlanta after they took one at your place, and then boom, you're 10-7. You got to win both of these series to be that 10-7 mark that I had hoped for, which would be nice. But we'll reassess that coming up a week from today. All right, let's get into those predictions and the activity I asked folks to do on Twitter. The final 54 predictions, MVP, Cy Young, and difference maker that wasn't on the 40-man. That's next on WTMJ.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Going for another 20 minutes here on the show. We're talking a little bit about these final 54 games, and I asked on Twitter, got a bunch of responses, much appreciated to everybody who's listening all year long, that who is going to be your team MVP for the final 54 games, the team Cy Young for the final 54 games, and the difference maker that was not on the opening day roster. Now, some folks misinterpreted this thinking it was the whole season award, but I just want to look at these final 54 games, especially with Christian Yelich out. The first thing on the overarching data here is the variety of answers for MVP should tell you that there is confidence in this group. A lot of folks are freaking out about the lack of deadline. Well, look, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different players got MVP votes, if you will, for folks that predicted them to be the difference, you know, the MVP of these final 54 games. Jackson Churio obviously ran away with the vote because he's been fantastic as of late. Willie Adames was second, and then it was a big cluster of William Contreras, Rhys Hoskins, Bryce Terang, and even Christian Yelich. So my answer to that is, okay, the offense isn't in a bad spot if you're going to find value out of there. And we see Rhys, you know, maybe finding some sparks here and getting in the juice of a pennant race. August is probably, in my opinion, the hardest month to play. There's two reasons why. Number one, it's hot. It's really hot. You're going to go to the Navy Yards this weekend. It's probably going to be hot in D.C. Then, of course, we all know Atlanta in August is just so beautiful. You know, everybody loves Atlanta in August. Yeah. So it's hot. And you're going to have, you're with players and teammates that you've been with literally since February. And look, when you've been with folks for, at this point, what will be four straight months, like, any little thing, guys chewing a little too, like, will you shut up? You know, like that, the angry August. That's a real thing. Like, I, as somebody who's been in the minor leagues, like, angry August is a real thing. It's worse on, like, losing teams, but it's not spoken about very often, but teams don't like it. Like, internally, doesn't matter how strong your clubhouse is, everybody will go through a little rift or a rough patch. Like last year, remember, the Brewers got swept in L.A. Everyone was just, like, down in the dumps. They had a long travel day going to Texas. Like, oh, God, here we go. We're going to get rocked on this three-city trip. Boom, they sweep the Rangers. And then everything was good, hunky-dory from there on. So that's why August is so hard to play. It's just like it feels like your body is broken down. You're not quite at that September pennant race when you get that first cool twinge in the air. Like, ooh, or college football starts back up. Like, ooh, fantasy football drafts kind of bring teams back together. And you're like, okay, home stretch is here. And when you can get to that point, that's what you're looking forward to. So back to the point of this segment, the MVP, the Cy Young, and the difference maker, not on the 40-man. No surprise for the last two votes, though, for the Cy Young and for the difference maker. The Cy Young, Colin Ray. Colin Ray has been awesome, and he's just continued to show up, show out, do his job. Nothing flashy about it. Doesn't strike out the world. Does his job. Do the Brewers expect him to be seven shutout every time? No. Do they enjoy it? Absolutely. He worked into the sixth inning against the Braves. Had a no decision in that game. That was on Tuesday night. Pitched well enough. 5 1/3, 3 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, and 2 home runs. 82 pitches I thought was a little early for him, but the situation called for him to come out of the game. On the year, 21 games, I'm calling those starts, even though there's been some openers in front of him this year. 115 innings, he's going to blow by his career-high mark coming up here in a little bit. He has continued to give the Brewers a chance to win. Pitcher record isn't everything, but it kind of gives you an easy gauge of, has he given the Brewers a chance to win every single time? And yes, his record is 9-3. The Brewers are 15-6 in games that Colin Ray pitches in. He's an easy pick to be the Cy Young. The second, the runner-up in that vote was Tobias Myers. And Tobias got cut short against the Marlins on Sunday, given he had so many high-leverage innings. I'm really excited to see his next start coming up against these Nationals. By the way, Frankie Montas will start tomorrow for his Brewers debut against the Nationals. We will also see Aaron Civale and, aforementioned, Tobias Myers coming up here this week against the Nats, and then you go down to Atlanta, where I imagine it would be Colin Ray again against the Braves, and Freddie Peralta again against the Braves, because they have an off day on Monday, and then probably Myers, given the extra, or keep him on his normal rest, but anyway, that's getting ahead of ourselves. Tobias has been awesome. You heard him earlier a couple weeks ago on Sunday Conversation, just with our 5 Good Minutes segment. He was awesome. Really excited to see what he can do in these final 54 games. If you add it up, it's probably 10 more starts for him. And make sure this isn't a flash in the pan hot 2 months, because he was the rookie of the month in June, and see what he can roll with here into August, as he'll get a start this weekend. The difference maker that was not on the opening day roster, we said Tobias, but my pick would have been Devin Williams. How quickly we forget the Brewers have made it this far without Devin Williams. And he's only thrown one inning. He is going to be huge for the Brewers down the stretch. And again, with that multi-headed monster lurking in September, hopefully, if the Brewers get healthy and get McGill back and get Hudson back and have Koenig continue to be effective and have Devin there in the back end of the bullpen, it's like, oh boy. And Nick Mears, like, whew, fired up. So I thought that was a really fun activity. A lot of votes also in the Cy Young went to Freddie Peralta, saying, look, this dude has shown he has a second half gear, and he can find that gear again. And I believe him. We saw what he could do last year. He pitched pretty well. Not perfect, but he pitched pretty well yesterday. He had the back-to-back homers, but he did his job. The Braves are getting hot, as we can tell, as of late. And the big, long second inning really did him in for his pitch count. Would have liked to see him go seven if it wasn't for that, once again, a big long inning. But that was the type of game that would have spiraled out of control for Freddie maybe in May or June. He kept it under control in the last day of July. So I thought that was a sneaky good pick as well for Cy Young for the rest of the way. But it's going to be Colin Ray. It's going to be Tobias Myers. It's going to be Freddie Peralta. And hopefully Frankie Montas and Aaron Civale can help out with this rotation. And hopefully we see Joe Ross rebound here and get back on track. But the Brewers have arms that they need to see in these final 8-9 starts. Like, all right, who's going to be the guys? Because in a playoff 3-game series, if they are in a 3-game series, we have no idea right now. Let's take a break, come back with more, talk a little bit about some outlandish predictions for some guys on the way up next on WTMJ.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
As we look ahead, talked about the Tyler Black move around in the outfield, one of the top position player prospects for the Brewers. I just started to think ahead here. I got three little prompts here to think about for these final 54 games. The first prompt, and I'm kind of posing this to you, Matt Yeazel, as you're hanging out here with me. It's kind of back and forth here. Is this outlandish to say? You can say just true or false, like, does this happen? First and foremost, does Tyler Black start a game in the outfield in the big leagues for the Brewers by the end of the season?
False.
I'm going to put true. I think there's a chance we see it.
Really?
I really do think so, because I don't see a reason why not to bring him back up here pretty soon. And the Brewers obviously need left-handed pop. Maybe it'll help lessen the hurt with Christian Yelich, and they got to figure out what they have, and this is also good timing for him to be working on the outfield in AAA. I'm not saying he needs to be a center fielder and go get it. He's been playing a little bit of center field, but he can be in right field, or if somebody's got something nagging, give him a couple of days off and get him going. I would not be surprised if we see Tyler Black start a game in the big leagues in the outfield at least sometime in September. I would not be surprised. I really would not. The next, Jacob Mizorowski was recently promoted to AAA Nashville. He now gets to pitch a little bit with the ABS. Do you think Jacob Mizorowski pitches one inning for the Milwaukee Brewers this season.
Yes, yeah. I'm all about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's lurking. It's coming. Now, it's going to be tough because, like we've talked about, with all these arms that the Brewers have coming back and all the injuries and everything like that, why start his clock so soon? You know, it's like, well, if he's just going to throw like 20 innings in the big leagues in the middle of a pennant race, like, is that really worth it? Maybe. But it sounds like D.L. Hall is going to be bound for that role. But I do think I'd love to see it. If he balls out in Nashville, it's going to be hard to keep him down. It really is. It's going to be very, very difficult. Okay, now the last one here. Three catchers. The Brewers had Gary Sanchez catch yesterday. Eric Haas is a DH. He was ultimately pulled. William Contreras came in. Do the Brewers have three catchers on their bench, or three catchers on their roster, I should say, for the rest of the regular season?
That's tougher, but I'll say yes.
I think so, too.
I think they do.
Yeah. I don't see a reason why not. Like I said, with Tyler Black and his positional versatility, you don't have anybody immediately ready to go at third base. I mean, you have Vinny Capra on the 40-man, but I don't think he's coming back up. Monasterio can play literally every position on the infield. Tyler Black can play the corners and maybe can play the outfield if he comes up. That would might be have to figure out what you're going to do with Jake Bowers in that regard. But Jake Bowers can play corner outfield and play first base. Gary Sanchez can play backup first base. Eric Haas can play corner outfield in case of emergency. Like, there's some sneaky versatility there with the three catchers. And, man, like, I could see it happen. I really could.
Haas can hit.
He strikes out a lot. But, man, he can hit. When he connects, he can hit. And I'm glad that they've tried to keep him around as long as possible because I think some big things are to come here for Eric Haas. I just feel like a moment is going to happen for Eric Haas. I just have this weird sixth sense that's on the horizon. Okay, we'll get ready to say goodnight, give you the upcoming schedule for the weekend with the Nats and the week with the Braves up next as we wrap up the program on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, a couple minutes left. Here is what's ahead for the Brew Crew on this six-game road trip. Three with the Nats. First pitch tomorrow is at 5:45 Eastern time. I'm just double checking that this is at 6:45. Seems like an odd time to start Eastern time. Yep, starting Eastern time. So 5:45 Central time. We're on the air at 5:00 here with the On Deck Show. Saturday is a 3:05 first pitch. I'm on the air at 2 with Brewers Warm Up. Then on Sunday is a 12:35 first pitch. We're on the air at noon with the On Deck Show. Also a note, tomorrow, if you're one of the folks that syncs up your television, the game is on Apple TV Plus tomorrow. Apple TV Plus tomorrow if you want to sync things up. But don't worry, Lane and Josh will have you covered from Nationals Park. Then an off day on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Atlanta, 6:20, 6:20, 11:20. Next week in Atlanta. Then they come home for their longest homestand of the year, a 10-gamer. Three with the Reds, four with the Dodgers, three with the Guardians, and then three with the Cardinals. So they will play three straight series against playoff-caliber teams, the Dodgers, the Guardians, and the Cardinals. So that could be a really big moment that we're previewing the next time we talk to you on Brewers Weekly. But don't worry, we've got you for Brewers extra innings all three games this weekend against the Nationals. Then I myself will be down in Atlanta covering those three games at Truist Park. My thanks to our producer, Matt Yasel, who you heard here on the program tonight. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.